From the yeehaws
to the yayhoos
and everything in between,
this podcast is for you. Where the hell have you all been?
Yeah, or where have we been? We've been busy.
We don't know where we've been. When was the last podcast we did?
June.
It was June?
Yes.
Oh shit, that wasn't as long ago as I thought it was. So that's good.
So yeah, not too bad.
Was Taylor our last one?
No, Dr. Reiner's, I think.
Oh yeah, because we did the Barrel Classic one.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
So anyways, this is going to be our season two. Every podcast has seasons, right?
Yeah, I think our season two should have started at the banquet in January, but, you know, we'll say 2A.
Yeah.
Season 2A.
So, we just thought we'd talk a little bit about this year today and catch up and what we can look forward to on season two. And I think it's a good time to start because we're getting into the year or the time of the year where there's not as much going on. And I don't know. I listen to way more podcasts this time of year when I'm not as busy.
I do most of the time because I like to listen to them cleaning stalls and stuff, but or driving to work because I have like a 35-minute drive to work, so that's pretty nice to be able to listen to them. But might be easier to catch up with people. We try to catch up with people at horse shows, but it actually is a lot harder than you think because everybody's busy and everybody runs at different times, and then people go eat at the end of the day, or, you know, like I know our crew runs some of the shows, and so it does actually make it difficult to catch up and at horse shows and not feel like you're super rushed. So I think that's been the struggle this year, because between just us running different horses and then helping Rayleigh, and then having like usually two horses for myself to run, and it just makes it hard to do things at shows. So
usually when it ends up being convenient times for us, it's not for the people that we're trying to talk to, and just podcasts that we talk about different things, and we haven't hauled together this year. So we used to do that going down the road, or you know, different times, and we haven't hauled together much this year, so I think that's made it a little bit harder too.
Yeah, for sure. And then getting over, because a lot of times, like in the winter, I would come to your house, but
yeah,
like in the summer, that's really hard because by the time I get off work and we ride, and it's just hard to, you know, it's hard to get away.
More to do in the summer for sure.
Yeah, so it's been tough for us to do it, but we're back, and hopefully,
we'll
our plan is to stay consistent. And we had some life stuff go on, like we had, which I guess, I don't know, like job changes and just everyday life. And I guess that wasn't in May, but that was still this year. And so I think there were different things.
Yeah, we've had, it's been a year. And for me, I do mean, ugh.
Yeah.
Last year, I think, was one of the best years of my life. And this year, I think, was not one of the worst years of my life, but the most trying. My gosh, it has been trying.
For sure. Yeah. We were so pumped in January because we had colts at trainers and things like that. And then, you know, things happen and colts come home and then colts leave again.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story in itself. But yeah, it's been fun. But that's life. And I'm sure everybody listening to this could say the same thing and has had the same issues. So we're not bitching. We're just being honest. So it is what it is. But we're back, hopefully. Try to do better. Try to get some podcasts. I know we need to get Becca so we can wrap up the 4E after we did Taylor. So hopefully
we
can get
her. Yeah, she's
on
the plan. Kate Montgomery. We want to catch up with her. I've touched base with her semi-recently. And we have all kinds of cool people that we want to interview this season and get their thoughts on. And we're going to talk about different things. But I think it's cool and just informational to know, you know, how we do this, not so rich and famous, and we can get ideas from people that we interview, and you guys can get maybe some ideas from us. We have hopefully three maternity colts this year. And I call all babies colts. So if that annoys you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But they're like, we have three, hopefully. So we're going to be going to some bigger races this year is the plan. And we will definitely take you guys along and see what we can do with them.
Yeah. And we, you know, I didn't even think, like, last year we interviewed the people at the state shows, but it was so crazy because we didn't even, I didn't run at the NBHA state show this year, and I just came and helped Rayleigh, so that was, and then I went home.
I was out of town.
Yeah, you were out of town, so, like, we didn't get to interview winners, and, like, we do want to get back to that because I think everybody really enjoyed that. And then maybe we can go to the banquets this year. I know we went, like, we need to maybe talk to IBR North, too, because I'd like to go up there, so. We need to catch up with Casey and Alyssa and see if they would want us there. And then, of course,
01, we didn't do them last year, but we did. Did we do 04? We didn't do any NBHA banquet, did we?
We didn't do any NBHA banquet. But if anybody wants us to be there, just reach out. Let us know when it is. And with it being winter, we can probably make it happen. We'd like to make it happen. But if you want us to come and interview the winners, like, we would be happy to do that.
Oh, it was a ton of fun.
It was. I loved it.
And got videos of people. And
yeah.
It was pretty cool. So
it was.
Definitely let us know if you guys want us to come. We will. And also, if there's something in particular that you guys want to hear about or a certain person you want to hear from this season, shoot us a message on the Facebook page. We are happy to interview people. And sometimes we just run out of ideas. So it's always nice to get ideas from people as well.
Yes, for sure. But yeah, like I said, there's been lots of people we have plans on getting, but it just hasn't happened. So hopefully we will do better. We got some sweet mics that were $10 that work really nice now.
Better than our $200 ones.
Yeah, so
that Holly crushed at the banquet.
Oh yeah, before we even used them. That was fun too.
Yeah,
so anyway, we also want to do an episode on trainers, and just we've both experienced lots of trainers this year, some good, some bad. And I know a lot of people around here haven't really used trainers, so we thought we'd give you some of the things that we've experienced, some do's and don'ts. I know I came from, I used the same person for years and years and years, and when that person, you know, retires from doing it, it makes it really, really tough. And you think, oh, this person's winning and this person's winning and they do a good job, and they do. But I have learned that it's so important to find the trainer that fits you and your program and your timeline.
And it was kind of a little bit the same and different for me. Ashley had someone that she was used to, and so she had expectations. And then I had never had young horses before, but I never do anything halfway, and so I had this idea in mind of what I wanted, and it was very hard to find.
Yes,
it's a lost craft. I get it. It's not worth it for a lot of people anymore. You know, they get hurt and then they don't have a job. So I definitely understand.
Yeah, and around here, that's not, you know, it's not like out west where people can do it solely as a job for the most part. And so we get, you know, we also get that that's also part of the struggle is, you know, people don't have time to put into, you know, just training colts. You know, they also have a life just like we do, and which is fine. And people do get it done and they do a good job with it. But I'm just saying, I think around here that it makes it even harder because you don't have people that are just solely barrel horse trainers for the most part. So yeah, that can definitely be true. And Holly and I kind of, you know, we agree on pretty much everything, but our expectations are a little bit differently. So I think, a little bit different. So I think neither of us are wrong, but I just think, you know, we can both offer perspectives because, like, there's some things that, like, she really cares about that I don't really care about. And then there's some things that, you know, I care about that she doesn't really care about. And so
in training and care.
Yeah.
Really, in both of those things.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we both, and there's a million people that take great care of their horses, but it's the same thing with care, whatever. There's a million ways to skin a cat, and
it depends on the horse for me too.
Yeah. And we didn't end up, you know, we both found trainers, actually, thank God, we both found trainers that we love, and they're not the same, and they don't train the same. And
we both like each other's trainers. It just so happens we ended up finding different ones and what that particular horse needed.
Yes.
Like, I think that if we would have sent our horses to the opposite trainer, it
still would have been okay.
It would have been fine.
Yes, it would have been fine.
It probably wouldn't have went the way it did, because I think it's funny, but those two trainers just ended up matching those two horses pretty well.
Perfectly. Yeah. Yes. And like I said, both trainers are very capable, and they both would have done well with whatever horse they would have gotten, but it did just work out. And I do the things that you care about that I don't. The trainer that you found was very much on board with those things, and that's what she does in her program. And, you know, the person that I found was very much in line with, like, the way I expect things to go. And so, you know, like I said, it ended up working out really well, but there was a lot of money wasted and a lot of time wasted, and honestly, a lot of disappointment, to be completely honest, at the beginning of the year. But we cried and paid our dues, and now we're better at the end of it, you know, because we stuck with it. And so, you know, there was lessons learned, which I say that all the time. And I think because of lessons I've had in the past, this didn't go nearly as bad as what it could have gone. So, you know, I don't know. I guess we're tiptoeing around it without trying to give too much, but it'll be an episode soon.
Yeah.
That we will.
Who knows? We might even get it into it later today. I don't know. But I think that it would be good if we just kind of went through our highs and lows with you guys for the year, and kind of what this year has been for both of us.
Yeah.
Barrel racing with no money and no fame.
Barrel racing with no money and no fame. Perfect for this podcast. Yes. And I think so many people can relate. You know, I'm not TikTok famous yet, so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that was our hard goal for this year. Both of us, we were like, man, we're going to get famous if we post so many times. And we have, you know, we can be interesting. We're funny. We're sarcastic. Well, guess what? I think that my highest video has 1,600 views.
I mean, I didn't really think I was going to be famous, but I'm just saying.
We were hoping. Like,
but, you know.
Katie Vance, like, really, like, she really, you know,
sets the bar high for you.
Yeah, and we were like, man, it's all about money. We just need more money for horses. That's the only reason why we wanted to be famous.
I don't actually want to be famous. I just wanted extra money.
I just want views. I want to get paid.
Yeah, see? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. That would be nice, but
legit,
just
that,
a joke.
That was a
Oh, we would love it. Yeah, we would love it if we were TikTok famous.
I do think that we've done a pretty good job at showing our horse life on TikTok.
You more so than me, because I don't have any storage on my phone, so I can't do anything. It's really sad. So, anyway.
We haven't showed the lows. We haven't shown... I think, like, we could definitely get into more depth in our podcast and our TikToks, and I kind of thought that would be some of it today, of telling you, so you guys can relate, you know, of course, this life.
Hopefully you don't relate, actually.
Yeah, hopefully you don't, but it'll make you feel better when you do, that you're not alone, because I know that.
Yeah, I do. My dad told me the other day, he called me. And
misery does love company.
Yeah, yeah, my dad called me the other day, and he was asking me if I was going to the show, and I said, yeah, I think so. And he asked me who I was taking, and I told him, and he asked about, because I wasn't taking Chesney, and I said, yeah, I said, I just don't think she's 100% yet. I was like, I'm not feeling it. And he said, man, you've got the shittiest luck. And I said, yeah, I said, so does everybody else. I said, you just don't see that. You don't see the lows, you just see the highs. And I said, the more I've done it, the more I talk to people, like, the more I realize that everybody has shitty times with horses. They're humbling, and it is what it is, but,
and
you
I
know,
think that it depends on how intuitive you are.
It does. I mean, yes, ignorance is bliss, and that is so freaking true. Like, the more you know, the more miserable they make you.
Yes,
in my opinion.
Me too. Like, we joke and say that we have the worst luck all the time, but I think it's just we're really in tune with our horses. And I'm not saying that there aren't people that have better luck than us, certainly. I mean, there are.
I hope so.
But there are also people that have worse luck, and we are not the only ones that have the unfortunate events that
no.
happen.
There isn't. I mean, we have a friend who lost a colt this year. We have, you know, I mean, there's so many things. So this isn't to say all woe is me. Like, it just is so everybody knows that, like, you're not alone when it's shitty. Like, everybody has. And it doesn't matter how good of care you think you're taking of them. It does not matter.
It does not.
Like, you can take the best care of them, and you can be as careful as you possibly can be, and they still get hurt, and they still get sick. And so, don't feel bad about that. I mean, obviously, strive to be better every day, and strive to learn, and strive to know more. But, you know, it doesn't matter how much you know or learn or whatever. Like, things are still going to happen. And it is hard to, it's hard to stay positive whenever shit's hitting the fan. Like, I mean, it really is, but that's just part of it. And it's such a mental game. And I think horses make you so mentally tough. Like, you have to be mentally tough to stick with it for very long.
Yeah.
There's nobody that has actually competed and had horses for years and years and years that is not mentally tough. There's no way. So we'll take that as a positive.
Yeah. Look at you. Being positive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's really funny. I will start from the beginning of the year.
I'm not going to remember things, right?
I'll jog your memory. So she's really bad.
I don't remember what the hell I did last week, and you want me to remember shit from January.
So it's really funny because we talked about at the beginning of the year speaking things into existence and how we're really bad at like saying negative things and then it happening. And so we were like, yeah, well, we're going to speak positive this year, and, you know, it's going to be a better year, and we're going to have better luck, and our horses are going to be sound, and trainers are going to be great, and all of these things. And let me just tell you, I don't believe in that stuff. Didn't work. I'm sick of being positive. Let me tell you my thought on that. If I expect the worst, then I can't be let down. So that's better than speaking positive and then time and time again being like, oh, well, that's not how it works. That's my philosophy, and that's what works for me. I can't keep things bottled up and fake a smile. That's what I learned this year.
That's very true. She has to process things, and she has to process things like worst case scenario.
Yep.
She has to.
And then when it's better, it's great.
Because I can say, that's not what it is. And she's like, yeah, but. I'm like, no, that's not what it is. And she's like, yeah, but. And I'm just like, okay, you can have your moment, and then we're going to have to get over it. So, yeah.
Yep.
Whatever works for you. But at the end of the day, like I said, you just have to be mentally tough and overcome it.
So that was the beginning of the year. Do you feel like that worked for you? Or
being positive? I don't know.
Did you carry that throughout the year?
I feel like I'm exactly the same as I was last year.
It's really funny because Ashley is the most hot and cold person that I've ever met at the same time. And what I mean by that is, like,
this is going to be funny.
The things that you think that she should freak out about, she's like, it's fine. That's not what it is. It's fine. I don't care. Whatever. Like, I'm not paying attention to that. And then the smallest things that, like, aren't actually a big deal, you can see panic on her face.
That's true. That is true. I do, like, overreact about some of the dumbest shit. And then
she doesn't ever verbalize it. But if you know her, you can see it
you
all
can
over
tell.
Her face.
Yeah. I'm very, like, neutral when it comes to emotions, unless you know me. And then it's not neutral.
I mean, needless to say, I don't think that's either of us.
That's not our vibe. Sorry.
Yeah.
We think you should be positive, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll work for you.
Yeah, I don't want to surround myself with negative people. I just want to be the negative person.
I don't think we're negative people. I just think that
No, I think I'm a realist and I'm very logical. Like, I think of all of the logical things instead of being optimistic. I'm not optimistic, but I'm also like not super negative all the time. I just
Don't think
take
we're
things as they
negative.
could be. And especially when it comes to like lameness and medical stuff with horses, just from my experience, like I've seen everything it can be, and that gets in my head sometimes.
Yeah, see, I don't have that and I don't want it, so that's good.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. Wish I never went into vet
Yeah.
med. For sure.
Yeah, see, we're the opposite with that because when it comes to that stuff, I don't care. But then when, not that I don't care, but I don't fret like she does. So it works out because I can balance her out a little bit. And then when it comes to other things, she doesn't care, but I do. And so then she can pull me back down to reality and be like, it's not that bad. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Yep. If it's an emergency and I know what it is, I'm usually pretty calm. Like, as long as I have a plan for things, I'm calm. I stress out about the unknown. That's what I stress out about. And that's the opposite for you. When
Yes.
something is like an emergency, that's when she usually is uneasy. And the unknown, you're like, it'll be fine. It's not that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so we're kind of the opposite, but it works. It works out. You have to have that, 'cause if you were both like that, oh my God, could you imagine how
Yeah.
bad that would be?
So this year, we'll go back to January. We started earlier this year with horse things. We actually seen each other more this winter than ever. We had way more horse things early, which was exciting. We didn't have a long winter break. We're gonna try to keep doing that.
Well, we took colts to trainers.
We started with our colts at trainers.
Then we picked our colts up from trainers.
We picked our horses up from trainers and we
Brought them
found new
home.
found new trainers.
Yeah, then we brought them home and we let them chill.
We did a branding that was lovely.
Yeah, we did. And
When I tell you guys this year nothing went how, like nobody, not nobody, but a lot of people just don't do their job. Or they do things
they half-ass
that
their
they,
job.
yes,
Even
yes.
people that's what they do. Like,
And
we've learned that.
that's been the theme this year, and that's why it's been the most trying for me, that sole reason.
Yeah, it's because you, and we do research and we do talk to people and we do look into things. So it's very frustrating whenever you do your homework and then like at the end of the day, you think you're doing the right thing and those people, yeah, they can do a good job, but they don't do a good job. And that's very, very frustrating. Like, I wasted almost 2 grand on the first trainer. Got absolutely nothing out of it. Like, I'm talking nothing except a couple bad habits that I had to actually fix myself. And so that's what started the year off. So that was cool.
And I had my horse, one of my horses, Fendi, at the same trainer.
Yes.
And she was there for 30 days. She was supposed to be there for 60, but I picked her up at the 30 days.
Because we both collectively saw that it just,
With two
she.
horses, it didn't meet our expectations. And it
Right.
might meet other people's, and I would never tell anybody, don't take your horse here, because I'm not going to decide for somebody, but for my program, that trainer did not work. Fendi was the easiest horse in the entire world to do anything with. Like, she ne didn't have any bad habits. She went with great groundwork, and she was there for 30 days and never had anyone on her back. And she was on a timeline. We wanted her to be a futurity horse. We had a strict timeline with her. We wanted her broke. We wanted her broke last fall, but she went through a Lyme flare, and so we had to put that off. And so we needed her to be broke, and she wasn't. And so that's when she came home, she was just like weird. Fendi's super in your pocket, and I think that that just wasn't her jam. And she wasn't, I don't think she was mistreated. I don't think anything like that. But
No, I don't either.
she was just standoffish and weird. Like, she can, we have discovered she cannot be an assembly line horse.
Yes.
She needs the personal interaction.
Some horses handle it and some don't, and that's fine. That's not on the trainer. That's on the horse. But I think it is on you as the owner to know, is your horse a horse that's going to be okay at a trainer with 10 other horses where they're going to stand tied to the wall and they're going to, you know, stand there with a saddle on and they're going to get ridden, cooled off, put away, get ridden, cooled off, put away. Some horses do fine with that. They don't care. They excel in that situation. And some horses don't. They need to have a little bit more of a at-home feel. And, you know, I feel like Image was like Fendi. She needed that, like, interaction.
I just told Morgan this week that she reminds me a lot of Image and her personality. But, yeah, they can't be assembly line horses. So she was weird when she came home. And body condition-wise, she wasn't where I wanted her to be and that type of thing. But she wasn't mistreated. It just, again, the program wasn't for me. So that was, well, I guess that was my first trainer for Fendi. And then Sailor came home after 60 days, and she was at a different trainer's, and she just came home, and they had ridden her, and she, you know, had been broke. But when we got her back, she was very green broke and just very squirrely. I think she had been out of the round pen for like 5 days, and she was there for 70, 75 days, something like that.
Yeah.
But she just wasn't where we needed her to be. So it was really apparent to me that we needed to get her to another trainer. Because, like, we couldn't loop circles in the field on her. And that's something we had to be able to do. So we decided to send her to another trainer as well. I actually found Cherry Winston. Love her in Florida. And, found her through another trainer that Fendi was supposed to go to, or did go to. But anyways, found Cherry in Florida, and she took Fendi first, and she did such a good job with her that we asked her if she would take Sailor. And Fendi was very easy to break. She never even bucked or did anything like that. And Cherry loved her. And so she was like, yeah, of course we'll take Sailor. And so we had both of them in Florida. I don't know. Sailor was down there for 3 months. Fendi was down there for 6 months. Fendi went on to a barrel trainer, and that didn't work out. And so, needless to say, this year, I think that Cherry is the positive outcome of that, and just somebody, again, like, that really works with my program. She, with both horses, they were two totally different horses. Sailor, when I bought her, was feral, and she still kind of acts feral. Like, she has that personality of, like, very untrusting of people. And Fendi is in your pocket puppy dog, like, nobody would hurt me. So they're very different, and she worked for both of them. They were the same, and I feel like both of them needed a connection with a person. I don't think Fendi would have bucked anybody off. Like, again, I think that she would work better in a trainer's assembly line than Sailor, but I don't think it's ideal for either of them. I think if Sailor got in a place where she was an assembly line horse, she would be a bronc. I don't think she would be safe to ride. She felt like people were going to eat her, and she was just trembling and very terrified when she first got broke. And she did end up...
And she wasn't an easy colt. Like, we're not sitting here saying no, like, Sailor was not an easy colt.
She, to my knowledge, didn't do anything at the first trainers. But I also don't think they pushed her very hard.
Because I think they felt that she was going to...
Yeah, I think they felt that, but I'm just speculating, so I don't know for sure. But I think that's kind of what had went on and why she was only out of the round pen for 5 days. But when she went to Cherry, Cherry thought that she was more broke than what she was. And not because I didn't tell her, because I was very upfront with her, but just because she expected her to be further along with the amount of training she had. And so she got on her, and she took her out of the round pen, and... she bucked her, I think she said 15 feet in the air or something like that. She ended up in the hospital with a concussion from it. Pretty big deal. And she thought she was crazy and called me. There was this whole kind of like scene with it. And we were like, oh gosh, we don't know like why she did that, whatever. Like, but it ended up being just that she was freaked out, thought Cherry was going to eat her, and wasn't broke enough. Like we thought that she was, or to the point at least people being on her back. And it was because she had never had the pressure that Cherry thought that she could put on her. So Cherry decided to keep her. Thank goodness. She said that she really liked her and that she wanted to give her a chance. She was afraid that if she didn't give her a chance, the other people wouldn't. And so that was the only time that she bucked her. She She just
basically
started from
started
ground
her.
zero. And I think if Sherry would have started her from the beginning and knew more, was more familiar with her, that probably wouldn't have happened. But Sailor's definitely a horse that she has to trust you, and you have to go slow with her and just, you know, reassure her, be her confidence. When she trusts you, I swear that horse would, like, ride into battle with Timmy. But it's funny, like, even last week, I got on her and she looked at me like, you're not my dad. Why are you getting on me? And, I mean, she was fine. Like, she's broke and super nice. But there's just different type of horses. And Sherry worked really well with my horses. And she didn't baby them. They had to be well-rounded. They had to stand still and things like that. But she also, I think there's a difference between babying and spoiling. I think when you baby a horse, you don't make them listen, and they're not great horses. I think spoiling them when they deserve it is definitely my style, and that's kind of how she was. So that's where we started our year with. And Ashley, do you want to tell where you kind of went from your first trainer
with Deeks? Well, he came home after 2 months, and he hadn't been ridden after 2 months. He wasn't mean, but I'm not gonna say it was easy. He was ornery, and I think he's really smart, so he was trying people, and he flipped over backwards. He jumped out of the arena. He was kind of a shit.
All of these issues on the ground, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess they were on him. I think they rode him like 5 times, which,
after it had already happened, though.
I had ridden him.
It was an issue before that.
I had ridden him 15 times, probably.
Yeah.
When I sent him there. And I could just tell that he wanted to be a little bit of a shit, and it was just more than, you know, what I wanted to deal with. So, anyway.
And you told them that from the beginning.
Yeah. I said, like, I feel like he wants to buck. And that's just not something that, you know, I want to deal with. But he didn't have any issues. Like, he went up there, you could get on him. Like, he wasn't bucking. I could just feel like if when you went the next step from where I was at, that, like, I thought maybe he would want to do something. But I also was never very consistent with him. So I just always assumed that if he went somewhere where you were consistent with him, that would probably go away without issue. Like, if I'm being completely honest, that's what I thought. And so that's why I thought, well, if I send him somewhere and they're riding him every single day and working him every single day, that will probably just go away and never be an issue. But I was upfront and I said, this is why, you know, like, yes, I've already ridden him. I've walked trot. I have loped him around. But, like, some days he doesn't feel like he wants to, and some days he feels like he wants to be a shit. And I am, like, a big believer in, if you're going to break colts, then you need to be able to handle whatever they throw at you, because if they get away with it one time and you don't fix it, then you have an issue, especially with a colt as smart as Deeks. He's very, very, very smart. I know everybody thinks their colts are smart, but this colt is really, really, really smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that. So I knew, like, I'm not a bronc rider. Like, I've broke a few horses, but I have broke horses, but I am not a colt breaker. There are two different things, and I know what my limits are, and I also know how not to ruin a horse. And so that was the point I was at. It was like, you're going to have to grow some balls, and you're going to have to deal with, if he does something, you're going to have to deal with it. And if you don't want to do that, then stay off of him and send him to somebody who is a colt breaker. So that's what I thought I was doing. So that's where we started.
Well, and I want to emphasize on that, because it shocks me, even just this year, the amount of people that have been in the horse business for so many years, and they don't realize that if you quit with a horse and you put them back in their stall and you let them win, it is 20 times worse the next time. It just is mind-blowing to me, the amount of people that let horses do that or get away with that, and the trainers that we've found that does that.
Trainers.
Well, I agree with Ashley. I don't think that you should call yourself a colt breaker unless you have the ass to back it up. Now, if you want to say you tune on horses or whatever, I think that's fine.
Those are two completely different things.
Yes. Like, and if you start horses on barrels or whatever, I don't think that you have to be a colt breaker.
But
if you say you are a colt breaker, when that horse rears up,
flips over backwards,
bucks, whatever, you need to be able to break it. You need to be able to handle it. That's what cowboy cult breakers are.
Yeah, and but I'm also one of those people that I want you to be as easy as you can, but as firm as necessary. So if my cult is being good, then, you know, I want you to treat that cult good. But if my cult is an asshole, then you do whatever you have to do to fix the problem. Like, and I'm okay with that.
And I don't think that we can tell everybody how to do their jobs. That's not what I'm saying. But if you do want to be a person where you're a cult breaker, but you won't deal with one that bucks or rares, you need to be honest enough.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. But just, and my thing too is like, yeah, it sounds like we're being assholes, but that's not it. Do you know how much more respect I would have for somebody if they called me and they said, listen, this cult is more than I want to deal with. I don't want to take your money. Come pick him up. Respect. That is, I have so much respect for you. But whenever you just keep taking my money, and keep like blaming it on things like ulcers or this or that or whatever. Like, I just don't.
And like when there should have been a conversation to begin with, when you said, I feel like he wants to buck a little. Well, like that is a perfect opportunity. I feel like for a trainer to say, okay, that's fine, but if he's a bronc or if he rears, that's two things I don't deal with. That conversation should always be up front.
Right.
If you have limitations, those limitations should be set up front when you're calling yourself.
Yes, and I have zero issues with that because that's mine. Like, I don't care if a horse, like, kicks out or whatever, that's fine, or if they pop up or, you know, whatever. But, like, if I feel like they're going to unload me, I'm just not interested in that. So.
And that's why you don't break colts.
Exactly. Yeah, I will break my own colts, and if I feel like I'm over my head, then I just quit and I send them somewhere else. Because like I said, that is the difference between me and somebody else is I'm not going to ruin my horse. So if I feel like I can't handle it, I'm not going to create an issue. I'm going to send them somewhere else and let somebody else fix it. So, or let somebody else deal with it. And I don't care to say that. Like, I don't care to admit it.
Another big thing for me, and I think the only thing, like, I want my horse to have a good handle when they come back from the colt breaker. But the other thing that I will not tolerate in a colt breaker is they have to teach my horse to be accountable for their body. And I get that they're growing and things like that. But I've seen time and time again with good trainers, horses that come back that can handle their body and not fall in, and they can pick up their shoulder. And that is a huge issue for me if my horse can't do that. And something that I've learned this year, a must for me at a colt breaker, they need to learn to teach them to be accountable and pick up their shoulder. If they're falling in and we can't even loop circles on them, there's no way we can take them to barrels. You're going to have issues. And so that's important for me too.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, some people just want the buck ridden out of them. And like, I've actually sent colts to people and that's all I wanted because like, yeah, I can fine tune one myself.
Yeah. You broke horses. Like you can break horses.
So I don't have to have that. Like, I don't have to have them like knowing how to do everything. So that's also like something that you need to have a conversation with. Like, I've literally sent colts for 2 to 3 weeks and I just said, I just want you to ride the buck out of them. Like if you can get them loping like half-assed circles, I'm good with that. But like, it doesn't matter. I just want to be able to get on them and this colt not like throw me in the air. And but then, you know, if that's not what you want and if you're upfront with them and you say, I want this colt broke, like I want this colt to lope circles, I want this colt to move off my leg, I want this colt to counter arc, like that's a completely different story and that's not going to happen in 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I understand that there is a difference between there's a really big difference between those two things. So like I said, I don't think anything that either of us are asking is something that is I feel like that's not that hard. Like, we were very upfront with, you know, what we wanted and what we wanted to do. And like I said, so much respect for people who just call and say, you know, I don't want to ride this colt. You know, that is fine. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to talk bad about you. I don't freaking want to ride him either.
Yes.
Like, so there's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, so I pick him up. He's got some issues when he comes home. Nothing super major. Nothing I can't deal with. But, you know, issues that weren't there. Still not any broker than he was whenever he went there. So I brought him home. I got on him once. And so I'm just like, okay, whoever he goes to next has to be able to get it done. because one, I'm like almost 2 grand in this with absolutely nothing to show for it. And on top of that, if he continues to get away with being a shit, then I'm going to have like an actual problem on my hand, and he's not a problem yet. So, you know, I have to be very, very careful. So,
and how are you going to find a third trainer to take horse?
Yeah, because if they haven't
understand, it's not the horse or it's not you. Like,
right? He's going to be labeled like this massive problem horse, you know. So, that's where I was at. And so anyway, some really good friends of mine that I've known forever, they put me in contact with and put in a good word, and I think Julie put in a good word for me, and I really don't know how I got in with this guy, because he doesn't really train colts for the public from my understanding, but I got him in with Chris Hayes in PA, and it was game changer for me. I'm so used to like Glenn and the way that Glenn trains and the way that Glenn does stuff. And like, you could take Glenn a feral horse, and then I'm telling you, you could take him a feral horse, and in 30 days he'll have that horse lope in the pattern, like, period. And that's what I'm used to. Like, and the horse is confident. The horse is, you know, it's not like he's shoving it down their throat. Like, he would call and say, okay, you know, you need to come pick him up. Like, they just need to go home and chill, or, you know, whatever. Like, there was never any issues. He just always knew when he could push, and he knew when he couldn't push, and you just never had to worry about anything with him. He rode the horse whenever he said he was going to ride the horse, and if he didn't get to ride the horse, he added those days on the end of the month, and he rode the horse those days, and he was just very, very honest, and that is what I was used to. And it's really, really hard, because I feel like that's an old school way of doing things that like a lot of people don't do anymore. I mean, that's just what I have found. Like, that's just not the way it works. And, you know, so my biggest fear with Deeks was that whoever would take him, because he had done a few bad things, I didn't want them to just be mean to him just because they thought he was bad. And so that was like my biggest fear. And, you know, I know I actually told Chris that whenever I was talking to him on the phone before I sent him. And, you know, I said, I want him to be respectful, and like, I'm okay with you doing whatever you need to do, because like, he can't be dangerous, and he can't do, like, he can't buck, and he can't rear, and he can't flip over, and he can't do all these things. And so I'm okay with you doing things if you have to do them, but I just don't want somebody to be mean to him for no reason because they think he's going to be bad. And you know, he told me, he said he'll get what he gives. He was like, if he's good and he's respectful and, you know, he does what he's supposed to do, he was like, then I'm going to respect him. And, you know, he's like, I will treat him the way that he treats me. And that really resonated with me, and I just, after talking to him, I felt pretty good about it. My friends told me that, you know, Chris could handle whatever Deeks threw at him, and it wouldn't be an issue, and it wasn't. But, he, you know, he never had any problems with him. Like, that's the difference. Like, you know, they had all these problems with him, and his son was the one that actually broke him. So we sent him up there, and his son broke him. And I think he did buck him off one time. But they said he'd been in the stall for a couple days, I think. And then he just pulled him out and, like, you know, just started riding him basically. And they kind of said, you know, that was our fault that he bucked. Like, we kind of knew that was a possibility just because of the circumstances. But that was the only thing he ever did, and he never did it again. And when he came home, he was broke. Like, I told him that, you know, I didn't care. I said, as broke as you can get him is fine, but he doesn't have to be like super crazy broke. Like, I can add the buttons. Like, I just need him to be safe. And not only was he safe when he came home, but he was broke. Like, this colt lope circles, he counter arced, he moves off your feet, he moves off your hands, you could move his body. Like, this colt was broke after 2 months, and
he just kept getting better and better. Like, we'll talk about in a little bit later on into the year, we sent them to barrel trainers, and so Deeks even went back to Chris, but He was. He was super broken, super nice. And it's funny because we watch Chris Rad, and like even as many people as we've watched Rad, like I'm talking professional people. Like you watch at the NFR, like big time trainers that you watch at the BFA. Like Chris has the best hands I've ever seen of anybody in my entire life.
He like doesn't
Like
move
he
them.
does
It's so
not.
impressive.
Like I'm not exaggerating. His hand stays over the horn and does not move.
Yes. It's really crazy how quiet he is. Like he just lets the horse work and I don't know, he gets stuff done really fast, but he also is very mindful of the horse and I don't feel like he pushes them if they're not ready or if they're nervous or whatever, like he's not going to push them, but if they are, he doesn't screw around. Like some horses just move faster than others and they don't need 100, they don't need 3 months to freaking learn how to walk a circle. Like they get so bored and I think that's where you get into trouble. And that's what I have had a really hard time finding is somebody who will move on with these colts whenever they're ready to move on. Like it doesn't matter how long they've been doing it. Like if they're ready to move on, move on. If they're ready to go faster, go faster. I don't care if it's been 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months. When they're ready to move on, move on. And everybody wants to say, well, they have to be confident. They have to be confident. You're not going to get on a colt more confident than my colt. And after a month, he was like, he's ready to be hauled. He was like, I know that soon, but he was like, he's automatic at home. He was like, this colt is ready to go to shows. I said, okay, let's take him. And, so I think that's so important too, is finding somebody who will allow that horse to move on whenever they're ready to move on.
Well, and also, like, we'll move in on to later in the year. Like comparing Chris to professionals, I sent Fendi to an A1 barrel trainer. Like I wanted her from the time that she was born to be fraternity'd by a big time trainer because of the opportunities that they have. Not because I didn't think that somebody else was capable, but because they are already going to all of those big shows. They're hauled all over the country, like just something that's not feasible for us to do here. And I wanted her to have that opportunity, so I sent her to a big time trainer. And I knew it was risky to begin with because Ashley, I had learned some through Ashley's bad experiences in the past of, your horse. There's all kinds of risks with big trainers. They can go there and they can stand in a stall and they cannot get worked. They can go there and get blown up. Like there are a lot of risks, and so I did my homework. I found also a lot of trainers that train through pain, and that is not for me. So I did my homework and I found one that I felt like, as good as I could guess, was really good with lameness and vet care and that type of thing, and that was really important to me. I found one that seemed like they loved on the horses and, that they weren't just a number to them, or so I thought. And so I did the best that I could do. I did do my homework. And it's funny because Fendi went to them for barrels in May. And when did Deeks go to Chris?
He went to Chris like around the 1st of July.
So they had Fendi for a month and a half longer. And Deeks came home running barrels. And Fendi came home crippled. And couldn't lope the pattern. Could not lope the pattern.
Like physically, not like, oh, she, like, not like she doesn't know the pattern, like she physically couldn't lope the pattern.
Like we were going down to get Sailor from Sherry, and I told these trainers that I wanted to check on Fendi because it had been 2 months and I hadn't got a video, and I wasn't gonna like let my horse stay there for months and not know what was going on with her. So I wanted to go and visit her. And when I told them I was coming to visit, they were like, well, you can actually just take her home. She's not working out. She can't handle pressure. When we try to tighten down her turns, she just can't handle it. And
She's
she's sassy.
pissy.
She's pissy at the first barrel. So I'm thinking, well, that's Fendi's fault. Yeah, I've got to bring her home. Like, we'll just have to go slower with her. Like, get her to handle pressure better. Like, fully believed this trainer. And on the way down to Florida, we got videos because I told them that I wanted them. And they were, I remember, like, my heart sinking when I watched the first video because it was just her, like, trotting in circles. And she was lame on three legs. And when I mean lame, like, my husband cannot see a broken leg, and he could see that she was lame. Ashley was sitting in the back seat and could see that she was lame. Like, there was no excuse for this big time trainer that was supposed to be good with lameness to not know. And so they knew. They just chose to ignore it. And she had been to the vet 1 month prior to that, like, for all transparency, like, and she like got some injections, but that vet said she checked out good and stuff. Like, so she had seen the vet with them, and like, she had, some stifle issues, or so we thought, or we were being told. But anyways, it ended up being a Lyme flare, and they knew from the beginning that she had Lyme and that she could have a flare and what to watch out for. And as soon as we seen her, we were like, three-legged lame. She on three different legs. Like, yeah, she's probably having a Lyme flare. Brought her home, tested her, and sure enough, she was. And she, Fendi is very smart. Like, we have not worked that horse throughout the week on barrels like we have Sailor, or like Deeks has been worked. Like, she has not had the same work that they have, and she is in a good place now. Like, literally, we just had a trainer for Lyme, and she went on, and she's going to be fine. Not worried about her in the slightest, and she can run a pattern and or high loop it, cruise through, and is doing fine. Not worried about her, but that just goes to show you guys, like, bigger is not always better. And someone like Chris Hayes from Pennsylvania can have a horse running the barrels, and a big time trainer can have your horse crippled. So that's my advice, is to find somebody that works for you, and just because they have a bigger name doesn't mean that they're always better. And also, I will never send a horse to someone that I've never seen them work the horse. Like, I don't think that you can choose who rides your horse off of watching them run a horse.
Right.
And I did that with Fendi, and I shouldn't have ever done that. I did it off of reputation, Facebook posts, and watching him run horses, and I will never ever do that again. I definitely want to see how someone works a horse. And so, yeah, that's my advice and our experiences.
Yeah, so it's, and all of that being said, just don't just take your horse somewhere and just assume because somebody has a name that that horse is gonna do big things, or that they're, gonna get opportunities that they couldn't get somewhere else. Sometimes, like she said, bigger is definitely not always better. And that's not to say, I mean, a lot of people love that and do really well with it. And we're not bashing on big trainers at all by any stretch of the meet, like by any stretch, we're not bashing on big trainers or anything like that. We're just saying, pick the trainer that fits you. Just because they fit somebody else doesn't mean they're going to fit you. And somebody else may use Chris, or somebody else may use Sherry, and they may not like them. And they might, they may not like the way that they do things, and that's okay. But just don't send your horse somewhere assuming because of this or that or whatever that, you're definitely going to be happy, or that that horse is, definitely going to be a superstar, because of where they're at, because that is definitely not always the case.
Yep. And that I it just it goes to show, like, I don't know, I just think each their own. And like Ashley said, like, big time trainers can be for certain people, and that's fine. And I would have loved to found one that, worked great for me, but I just didn't, and that was my experience. And you have to live and learn. And man, there was some drama with that one too. Like, I just, yeah, I don't want to go back down that road ever again.
Yeah, no doubt.
But Fendi, our plans with her, like, she's gonna be fine. She can handle pressure. She is like one of the most willing horses, and happens to get along with Ashley really great. So she's helping me out with her, and we still plan to go to a lot of the big fraternities. So I definitely think that even though we're not rich, we're not famous, we don't have these big time trainers in our pockets, like, there are still opportunities out there for us. So we hope to take you guys along to some of those this year, and we have big goals, and we're just gonna have to do it ourselves.
Yeah, and we, it's really cool because, Fendi is an incentive horse, and so that's something that we haven't, not that none of us have got to experience. I know there are a few people around here that have incentive horses that have gotten to go to a few of like those big shows. So, but I know that there's a lot of people that haven't, and we are some of those people that haven't got to experience that. And so I think that's going to be, really cool. Like, win, lose, or draw, like, regardless, like, just the experience in itself will be really cool, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, we might decide after this year, like,
not for
Lemon Isle's
us.
really cracked up to be, or whatever, but it's cool to get the experience and at
And
least
Holly might
try it.
decide, my jockey sucks, so I'm taking another one next year. That also might happen.
Yeah, it's not gonna, that's not going to happen, but...
So, like I said, we're not out here saying we're going to win the world or that we're the best in the world by any stretch, because
I'm not saying that Fendi could win the world with that trainer either. That's not really the point of it. It's just that I think, you have to give your horse, whatever that is, the best opportunity you can provide them.
Yeah.
And then it's up to them to succeed. And I feel like I was not providing her with the best opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
At the certain situation that she was in was not the best opportunity and not what I had planned. So now this is the best opportunity we can give her and go on from there. But yeah, I just thought it was really cool that our horses had went to different trainers and had different experiences and some of the same trainers and had the same experiences. And you just live and learn who works for you and who doesn't. But this year has been crazy with getting our colts trained. But finally, we have 3 colts that are broke and that are started on barrels. Woohoo! Because dang, it's been a ride to get here.
Yes, 3 solid colts finally. And like I said, I know, they love Sherry, and I've met Sherry and I've seen what she's done, and I have a lot of respect for her too. I wouldn't care to send a colt to her myself. She is far, so if you're not somebody who wants to travel, then that's probably not a good option. But she is really good, and so like I said, they could not be different. Like the guy who broke my colt and her, they really actually could not be different, and the way they do things is completely different, but at the end of the day, they both got it done. They both got it done effectively, efficiently, with solid, confident colts at the end of the day
that are broke and have good handles on them.
Yeah, I mean, I brought Deeks home, I think, in September, right? Sometime in September. He was there 2 months.
Yeah, I guess.
Was he there 2 months?
Yeah.
And Chris had hauled him for me, and that was another thing
that
I wanted to
super nice.
Like touch base on was, he told me at the end of the first month that he was ready to start exhibitioning, and I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. He's like, he's ready to go. And I said, well, is that something you do? And he said, yeah, I can take him. And we talked, price, and it was very, very, very reasonable. And I was like, take him. And I mean, it was like 2 days, and he was like, hey, I'm taking him. I'm going to take him here tomorrow. And I was like, okay, just let me know what I owe you, And then he was like, I think we're going here Saturday. And in a month's time, I think he hauled him like 5 or 6 times. He was to, I think, at least 4 different arenas. I know he had him to Sidmore. He had him, there was a couple different Pretzel, and then there was a couple indoor arenas that I'm not even sure if I don't remember where they were at. But anyway, he hauled him like in 4 weeks. He hauled him like probably 6 times, I would say, at least. Like I said, sometimes twice a week. He rode the horse every day. Like, but this colt, I just can't not explain to you how broke he is and how confident he is. And, he got, I don't want to, he didn't get rushed because he's fine. And he's handled everything. He never, ever, every single week, every single video that I got, the colt got better. Every week the colt got faster. To me, that's a colt that's ready to go on. Had he been pushing him and, I got videos and like, he was kind of like, oh, he's good here, but he's bad here. Then I would think, maybe we're going a little too fast. I don't think he can handle it. But when every video I get, he's just calm, cool, collected, and just better and faster. That to me tells me that my colt's ready to, he's ready to go on and he's handling it. And not all colts do that. And that's fine. And that's why I'm saying this colt is really, really smart. And he just, I feel like he likes the pressure. Like he does like it. And I think that's a testament to Chris, because he knew what he could handle and he didn't push too much, but he
And I
pushed
think
him the right amount.
And I think that he channeled that orneriness.
Yes.
Into
work
wanting,
ethic.
Yeah, wanting to do his job and to work. And that is a testament, because you can take that and channel it in the wrong way.
Yep.
And it could be really bad. So.
Yep. And I just finally took him. I had him home like a month. I'm not one of those people. Like, I don't care to throw one to the wolves by any stretch, but I also am never in a hurry. And so I just wanted to ride him. Like, I just wanted to ride him. I wanted to get a feel for him. I wanted to learn some of the buttons and how light he is and how, you know, just all the things. And so I rode him for like probably a month, I think I'd say, at home, and then maybe 3 weeks at home. And then I finally took him and exhibitioned him last weekend. And like, I was honestly blown away. Like, he didn't really look around. He wasn't scared whenever he went in the pen. Like, when I was warming him up and I was trotting him, he was like counter arcing, and like, he is so broke. I literally felt like I was on an open horse. And how do you do that? Like, that colt has had, realistically, not counting what I did, which was probably like 15 rides, and they were very, very inconsistent. Like, that colt probably has, what, 4.5 months on him total. Like, I'm talking ride time and barrel training, everything. The colt's got like 4.5 months on him, and he just rides around like an open horse.
Mm-hmm. And that's the expectations that that I feel like I had, and I think that's realistic. Like, that's just a testament to the type of trainer you have. Like, Fendi, her handle is like an open horse too.
And yes, she is.
She was not ridden. Like, she should have been at the barrel trainers. I can tell you that from the way that she was at the Colt Breakers when we seen her. And then when we picked her up from the barrel trainers, like, she was way less sharp than she was when she left the Colt Breakers. But like, when she left the Colt Breakers, she rode around like an open horse too. And like, the fact that I can get on her and ride her during the week here and enjoy her, like, is a testament to Sherry too. And she, I mean, realistically, she had 6 months of training, so she was like that, and that's counting the barrel trainer. So I feel like she probably had 4 months,
yeah,
realistically. And we've been working on getting her a lot sharper and kind of back to being responsive and that type of thing. But to have different trainers that can get horses there, like, just don't settle. Whatever your expectations
exactly
are, there is somebody out there that will fulfill them. You might have to drive. I grew up as a gypsy. I'm happy in a vehicle, so Florida was not too far for me. But even if I didn't grow up like that, the drive was worth it. I would have saved a hell of a lot of headache and a hell of a lot of money if I would have just went there first.
Yeah. Well,
and you found someone
right
closer, and we don't even know if these trainers would. I know Sherry does, but Chris doesn't take outside horses, so like, we're not even promoting them. It's just to tell you guys, like, keep going until you find someone. But just because someone tells you that your horse is the problem doesn't mean your horse is the problem.
And I do want to add, don't be a pain in the ass owner.
Yes.
You know, Chris, if I annoyed the shit out of Chris, for those of you that know him and for those of you that don't, he absolutely would have probably ignored me. Like, if I was calling him every day and I was like, I am not a pain in the ass owner. And as long as you're riding my colt and I'm getting videos, like, I never had to hound him for videos, like, but he usually would send me one video a week, and it was usually on Tuesdays, and he would send it to me at 7 o'clock in the morning, because you know why? He was up on my horse. He was riding my colt at 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, he sent me the video the day that he took it, and I didn't have to beg for it, but I also was not a pain in the ass. He sent me one video a week, and I just assumed no news was good news. Like, I got the video. My colt was doing good. There was a couple times where he had a couple, like, one hiccup. He thought he was kind of moving weird. And he mentioned that to me whenever he sent me the video, and we talked about it. And he said, you know, I'll keep you posted. And I said, okay. And then in a couple days, he was like, he's good. He hasn't been doing it. I think we're good. So don't be a pain in the ass. I'm not sitting here saying that those trainers need to kiss your ass by any stretch of the means. If they're doing their job and they're riding your colt and they're doing what they're supposed to, leave them alone. Leave them alone and let them work your colt. But that also goes both ways. I do think that they do owe us an update somewhat. You know, I don't think you should expect to go for a month and at least not see something. So the respect goes both ways. Don't be a pain in the ass. Like I said, I did everything I could not to bother Chris, but Chris never ever left me feeling like there was any reason why I needed to be a pain in the ass, because I got an update once a week. If there was an issue with my colt, he told me. And like I said, I just assumed that no news was good news, and that, you know, that just worked. So don't be a pain in the ass. I wanted to add that in there.
Yes, that's important. You, if you do find the right trainer for you, you also have to keep them happy. So
yeah, don't be a pain in the ass. You have to be, if it's the trainer for you, you need to be the owner for them. Yep. And you know, and sometimes, you know, that's hard to do, but I tried really hard not to be annoying to Chris. And so anyway, that was just a little bit of our experience. Like I said, we'll take you guys along. Deeks is probably not gonna go a ton this winter, but I think
he's gonna fraternity next year.
Yeah, but I am planning on taking him to some 5-year-old fraternities next year, because he'll actually be 5, so he's actually behind. But I think it was good for him, and I'm okay with that.
And we're going to be there anyways with Finny and Sailor. So yep, we're taking Deeks along, and yep, hopefully we have our hard work pay off next year. We see it pay off and just have some good experiences. But at the least, we will have fun. We're
yes,
going to travel some miles and see some sights that we haven't seen. And so that'll be fun in itself. And then hopefully our colts working good will be the cherry on top. But
yep. Thanks for listening to us ramble. We just kind of, that was something that has actually been on our chest all year, and we're probably not done talking about it, because I feel like we haven't got into the meat and potatoes of some of the things, but I definitely know we could talk more about Findy, so maybe we'll do that in another episode. But anyway, we're back. Hopefully we'll try to keep the episode's rolling. Hopefully we'll try to get one out like every other week or something.
And our next episode will probably be a part 2 to this, so we can go over not just trainers, but where else we've been this year and the highs and lows.
Yep. So anyway, see you guys next time, and hopefully it won't be 6 months.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, where we're not so rich,
not so famous,
but we're all trying to be.